This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. Yeah, so you see that Peter Johnson is following in his truck with one of his guys. Boy, I shouldn't have said that, should I?
That's telling.
Or is it? Did I just slip up just to make you feel like you should know that? Guesses, we'll never know. Yes, we will know. Okay, so they're in the truck. It's Peter. He's not actually driving. He's in the passenger seat. And then one of his guys is driving the truck.
Okay. So I think that, you know, as I clock it, like, cause it's, as we're sort of pulling away, they come around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I nudge Jane and I kind of like, you know, look my head like behind us. And then I reach out and I just tap the cabbie on the shoulder. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm feeling a little peckish. You know, instead of you know, going to the hotel, maybe is there a good place to eat around here?
Oh yeah. You got it. We got a couple of places around town here. You know, what's funny is I actually have stuff in my notes here. Let me see if I can find my notes. Let's see.
Like okay. Literal places. In,
yes, not literal places. No, places I made up. That'd be kind of fun. I haven't done it before. He's like, yeah, he's like, just down the street here and a couple of blocks west or whatever, there's this place called The Coast. Got some great food.
Oh, yeah. Is that too far from where we're going to be going?
And he's like, kind of, what do you check? Nah, he doesn't need to check anything. He's been driving this city for a while. He's like, yeah, it's probably, I'd say about 4 blocks away.
Oh, that would be perfect. Then we could just walk over from there if you don't mind, you know, changing destinations.
Oh, you know, I don't. I'm on your dime.
Great.
Yep. So he does this one of this thing that kind of scares Jane a little bit. He like just changes direction and like kind of cuts through traffic and takes like a sharp left he just like gets in front of some people and they're like honking their horns and like, hey, what up with you? That kind of thing, like screaming at him or whatever. He's like, sorry, you know, that kind of thing. He waves, you know,
finger at the window.
yeah, exactly. He's not they are probably doing it, but he's not bothered. He's like, this is my job. And if you're in the way, you're in the way, you know.
I grab her hand and give it a squeeze. Right, because mm-hmm. Now it's starting to get a little.
yeah, for sure. Because like you can tell, like the jostling of the car might have like triggered something from the accident you guys had. So she just like, you know, she probably like puts her hand on your leg and like slaps the other side of the seat, you know, and kind of like tenses up, you know, that kind of thing. So she's probably, you know, a little scared, a little PTSD on that whole thing or whatever. But she, you know, you grab her hand and she lightens. She kind of like lets up a little bit and squeezes your hand tight or whatever, you know, that kind of thing.
I imagine she lets out like a little gasp as the car just like she.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, exactly. It definitely took her way too much by surprise, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah. So you guys head over to The Coast. It is this huge restaurant. It's got an outdoor patio. It's got a restaurant kind of a building in the middle. And then, well, no, it probably wouldn't be beknownst to you until you got closer. But you see a lot of patrons that are outside and inside. Some people are eating sandwiches. Some people are eating steaks. Some people are actually eating lobster. People are eating all kinds of almost like surf and turf kind of stuff. And yeah, you guys pull up.
He scoots out, runs around the door to let her out, pays cabby. You know, glances backward, like not like, you know, not trying to make it obvious, like, oh, are they still following? But like, you know, as he like gets out of the car, like he'll look like he's looking for traffic and mm-hmm. then get around to see, you know, did they park next to us? They park down the street. They like pull across the street in their way, you know, just to kind of like see what's happening.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. Yeah, they park park across the street and kind of sit there and just wait to see what you do.
As cab drives away, you know, I say to her, if she doesn't clock it or, you know, say to me, oh, there's a, like, those are the guys from Masterson's. They were waiting outside of your dad's place when we got in the cab. So I didn't want to take us over to the hotel, right? I don't, who knows what they're, who they're working for and what they're doing, you know?
And she's like, you start kind of walking her towards the spot or whatever, and she drops her purse and she's like, oh, clumsy me. And she goes to like pick up her purse and start like putting her contents back in it. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. she kind of looks towards the truck and she's like putting stuff in it, you know, whatever. And she's like, oh, I tell you, I wouldn't know where my head was if it wasn't screwed on straight. And she kind of puts it back on or whatever and like turns drastically towards you or whatever and takes your arm and just, you know, heads towards the restaurant.
I smirk, as you know, I think to myself, like, she, you know, she'd make a good PI kind of thing. And, you know, I hook her, you know, my arm into her arm, or, you know, put my hand around her waist or whatever. And I say, I'm not actually too hungry, but, you know, let's go and get a table. Let's maybe get some coffee, you know, get a little something and let's kind of wait them out and see what they do.
Okay. So, yeah. So you guys go into the restaurant. It's do you go inside or do you stay outside?
If it's nice, I think we stay outside, but close to the building and then sort of facing the truck, right?
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
One
yeah.
of us kind of has at least sort of like, it's not going to be obvious if we turn, but mm-hmm. not necessarily like I'm perpendicular staring at the guy.
You're just like, just staring holes through people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sipping a
cup of coffee.
Yeah, exactly.
Locking eyes.
excuse me. Yeah. So like, yeah, you sit down, they get your order, you know, they ask for, well, let's just play it out. Yeah. Yes. Can I help you too?
Oh yeah. If we could get the two menus, we're looking for something a little light, but if we could start off with some coffee, that'd be great.
Of course. I've got a couple of menus right here. And, how would you like your coffees?
Black for me.
And she's like, cream, two sugars. Coming right up. So he leaves the menus. You guys slip the menus under your eyes so you can just see the cut. No, you didn't do that. Yeah. And she goes and grabs you some coffee. The menu is what you would expect to see in Maine. A lot of seafood options. There are some other options like chicken and steak and stuff like that, and sandwiches or whatever if you want something like that. As you're looking to see what's going on in the truck, no one seems to stir for the moment. It almost seems like they're doing the same thing you're doing, waiting you out to see what you do next.
Okay. So he, you know, kind of like leans back, you know, stretches, like sort of an expansive gesture. Like he pulls out his cigarettes, lights a smoke, and, you know, kind of like relaxes, like they're going to sit here for a while.
Yeah.
He says to her, so, you know, I don't know what these guys are doing, right? So, I mean, it probably makes the most sense maybe to not go to the hotel, maybe go to the cops. You know, we did the check-in. They know that I'm working. The only thing is, I don't know, you know, if they still want your dad for something, right? I mean, I don't want to, you know, bring them in and then, you know, they wind up, you know, pushing, you know, something bad happens there. I mean, you know, we just found them. I don't want you to lose them again.
And yeah, she kind of like thinks it, mulls it over a little bit, and she's like, yeah, I don't know how to read this guy, this Peter Johnson. Part of me kind of believes him, and part of me, there's just something there that I don't know. He's just kind of, she's like trying to think of the word. He's just kind of greasy.
Yeah, I mean, that was the feeling I got when we talked to him. It looked like he was, he had a little something going on.
Yeah, and she just kind of like, she kind of laughs, and she's like, does everybody just have a little something going on?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's probably true. Not all of it's shady and dirty dealing, though.
That's true. Ugh, I don't feel like I know what that's like anymore.
Yeah, well, it's been a while. I mean, they're probably going to wait us out. I could call the cops and tell them that, I got some guys giving me a hard time. I don't know if they'd be amenable to coming down and, rousting them up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. She's like, you can tell she's visibly like frustrated. By this time, you guys have ordered some food and you're kind of eating or whatever, you know. And she's like, I just, I don't know. I don't know if bringing in the cops would just bring more heat on the situation or not. I wish I just knew what to do.
Yeah, you and me both. It's not that often that, open and shut, clear cut case, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I could just go over there and, get up in their face, but I don't know if that's going to make anything any better either.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea at all. And she kind of giggles or whatever. Just as you guys are speaking, an older gentleman comes to your table and he says, how is your food this fine day?
He looks up because that sounds like more of a New York accent than a Savannah accent. He's like, slow turn. He's like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good.
That's perfect. I'm glad to hear it. My name is Al Blascucci. I own this fine establishment of the coast. I like to always go table to table just to make sure my customers always feel like they're being appreciated. Are you being appreciated, ma'am? And she just kind of gets a little red in the face or whatever. And she's like, I'm having a great day. Thank you for your food and your hospitality. And he's like, that sounds great.
So you don't sound like a native, if you don't mind me saying. You look like, it sounds like you're kind of ran from my neck of the woods.
Where are you from?
I'm from New York. We're up on vacation.
Oh, beautiful. I'm from Long Island, and I moved here about 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah? Not too cold for you?
Oh, not too cold for me. New York can get pretty cold, so Maine, no problem.
All right. That's, as business. I heard that the lobster stuff has been down recently.
Oh, it truly has. Luckily for me, I have a good business partner that's been bringing in some nice, good, fresh lobster for our place. Maybe you heard of them, Masterson's Co-op.
Oh, no, it's one of the big, was it like a processor up here?
Oh yeah, they're always finding the best kind of seafood for us. So they bring it over to us. We get a good discount, but we also buy them pretty big bulk, So we always got the freshest seafood. Oh, you know what? Speak of the devil, and he points in the direction of the truck, and Peter Johnson is walking to your table, and he's like, Al, good to see you. And Al's like, oh, good to see you, my friend. You know what? I forgot Peter's whole like accent and anything like that. So I'm sorry if it sounds like Al is talking to Al, because it's going to probably blend into each other, whatever. And Peter's like, I really hope that you're taking good care of my two friends here. And Al's like, oh my gosh, you know these two? I'm not going to be doing this all night, I swear to God. And Peter's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but this young lady right here, this is Daniel's kid. And he's like, no fooling? That's Daniel's kid? Wow, I can see the resemblance. You're just as beautiful as he is handsome. Oh, boy, here we go. And then Jane's like, oh, you too, that kind of thing. And Peter's like, or Al's like, you know what? I've took up too much of your time. You probably want to have a nice conversation here with my buddy PETA. So you know what? Leave you three alone. If you need anything, my name is Al. I'll be able to get you whatever you want, okay? You just let me know.
Thanks, Al. We appreciate it.
You bet. And he proceeds to go to the next table to ask a family of five how their food is.
And he doesn't look like the guy who I saw on the boat, right? Or going to the boat.
He does not, no.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting. I mean.
Yeah. So PETA sits down and he looks at you and he says, yeah, this is my guy, Al. He's one of the guys that I deliver lobster to. I'm getting to Al's voice again. I'm going to try to do the PETA voice. Yeah, that's my buddy. That's my buddy, Al. He's a good buddy of mine. I'm always delivering nice fresh lobster and seafood over here. He's a good man, you know? So that's why he's like one of my stops. Good guy.
No, that's good for you. Yeah, for lunch, I don't recall asking you to lunch with us today. Is there something you need there, Pete?
And he comes in, he sits down, and you see him kind of motion under the table, and you hear a little click. Hmm. And he says, well, I know that you didn't invite me for lunch, but here we are.
It's not very neighborly. It's not what I hear about Maine. They're all people up here really nice.
Well, you've been up here long enough, you'll find out that Maine's just about as sketchy as other places can be. You just have to find the right people, you know?
So what's this all about, Pete?
Well, I think you know what this is all about. I'm looking for somebody as well.
I'd say you found somebody.
he kind of laughs and he takes his other finger. He takes his right hand. He's left-handed. He takes his right hand and kind of like wags it at you. And he says, you are a funny guy. You are a very funny guy. It's interesting because my employee used to be somebody that I can trust. Now all of a sudden he's gone. And I'm like, okay, what's happening here? What would he say? He's like, I don't know if he's decided to take his business elsewhere, but he doesn't realize he works for me. But also, I don't know you two. You two seem like you're like the innocent type, but what's to say that you didn't, like, who's to say that this person, and he points at Jane, is really his daughter? Maybe you guys are pretending to be his daughter so you could take him out.
So when he gestures at Jane, his face gets a little, you know, gets dark. You know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he says, God, what does he say? So let me jump out for a second. So when because I don't remember when we met him, I told him I was PI and gave him my card, right?
Yes, correct.
Is that right? Okay. And we told, so obviously told him that Jane was his kid and that we were coming up to Sam.
Yes, okay. Correct.
He says, you say disappeared. We just got into town today, so I don't see how the two things are related. If he dipped out on you, I don't know. I mean, we haven't even seen him. Like, we came to you to see if you could tell us where he was, and now you're telling me he's gone. You gave us an address. We went to the house. He wasn't there. Actually, it looks like somebody turned the place up. How do I know that you didn't do it?
And he kind of squints at you a little bit or whatever. And he's like, how do I know that you didn't do it? Come to me pretending like you're still looking for, or like you're looking for him when you're still looking for him. And then kind of cover your tracks, like pretending like you're looking for him when technically you probably already did look for him. Boy, this sounds really bad coming out of my mouth, but I think you get the gist of it.
Yeah. I went there first, tossed the place over, and then went over to Master's Zone.
Yeah. Correct.
Well, I don't know. It seems pretty convoluted. I gave you my business card. You know who I am. I'm a private investigator. So, I'm easy to keep track of.
Any nickel and dime place could make this card up easily. Where were you going before you took a left turn?
Well, I don't think that's really any of your business, Pete. I told the guy we were looking for something to eat. He pulled a crazy left, almost threw us out of the cab. So,
I don't believe you. I think there's something you're not telling me. And he kind of shifts his weight and points the gun at Jane. And he says, I think that we should cut our little lunch off short. And we should go to the destination that you were originally headed to. I wouldn't want anything messy to happen.
I'm assuming she notices.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because
what's her reaction then in all of this as it's happening?
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely she's horrified. She doesn't feel safe. There's a terror in her eyes that she doesn't know what to do, so she's not moving an inch.
Yeah. I think he just like again, like he like you could see it on his face, like I'm gonna fucking kill you.
I wouldn't expect anything less.
And he says something cool. He says something cool.
It's like the movie. Say something cool. Something cool.
Fuck.
Take your time.
He says something, something to the effect of you're, and you know, it's like his eyes, like he's hard eye contact.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're starting down a dangerous road, pal. This, and he kind of chuckles. He says, you might not like how this turns out in the end. So let me ask you a question. It's Daniel, right? Is the name he's going by?
Yep, correct.
What's Daniel to you? I ain't never had any employer go and pull a gun on somebody because they were concerned about me. Although I've had a couple of guns pulled on me before. That happens. That's not an uncommon occurrence these days.
He says, let's just say he's a really good employee. And he gives you like a very God, I just want to say greasy again, but that's not the word. Like a really just
slimy, like, just like,
yeah, slimy, like a rat kind of like smirk that you just want to smack it off of him.
I want to make an insight. Do I think then that Jane's dad is involved in some illegal activity? That he's working for Masterson's as someone who works at the dock, but is also like, well, I did this kind of work before and like, it pays pretty good. And
yeah.
Like they're gonna keep the heat off of me as I, hide out in Maine sort of thing. Right.
Yeah.
Because this guy also, again, sort of has like New York inflection, right? Like maybe connected, like, these are the things that are going through my head as like we're having this engagement.
Yeah.
That, they also have legitimate businesses. So like,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go for it. Why don't we roll? You could roll an insight. I'm going to have the DLB 5.
That's a 6 on the die. So I think that's an 8. That's an 8.
Okay. All right. So what you gleam off of it is that there is definitely something going on, obviously. Otherwise, why would he be so interested?
Yeah.
You don't know for a fact, though, if Daniel knows it.
Or is like a willing participant sort Correct. Of thing.
Mm-hmm. You do have an and.
So I'm having a thought.
Uh-oh. Just kidding.
Because I don't know. Like, mechanically, I don't know how the other stuff would play out from that. Let's see. Because I think I wind up getting shot one way or the other.
Then I would advise not to do that, I guess.
No, I still think I want to do it. So I want the end to be that, not that he relaxes, but like kind of, and then shifts the gun back to me.
Back to you. Okay. I could do that.
And then I flip the table onto him.
Okay.
But, like, I don't know how to handle that mechanically, right? So like he sort of like leans back and, gun pointed like in my direction, right? Like he can't see that it's like, I see where I'm looking. I see where I'm pointing, right? Like two things.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I'll have to say this then. So if you want him to point the gun to you, I don't think you could do the him pointing the gun at you and flipping the table, because
the and is just him shifting.
Okay, so then you're gonna try to do the deal after.
And then without saying anything, I just like push the table up.
Yeah. Okay.
Over him.
Nope, I like it. I like it. We'll do that. So he's going to be intently looking at you. So I think I'm going to have this be an opposed roll to see who wins out on it.
So what I'd like to do just prior to that.
Correct.
Yes. Right. So he shifts.
Yeah.
And like we're having a mad staring contest. And then I kind of do this, like maybe his friend is coming up behind us or whatever.
Yep.
And if he's just like just that second of hesitation and just flip it, not that he's not going to get a shot off.
Yeah. But
flip the table up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, tell her to run inside. Like, go.
Yep.
Assuming she's going to go inside where there's people and not like run away where the other guy's in the truck.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Then whatever happens, happens.
For sure. So I think what he'll probably roll for then is if he's fooled by your look to see if that other guy is coming, and then we'll play it out from there. That kind of thing.
Okay.
So that would probably just be trying to think a brains roll probably to see if he gets, or a psyche roll maybe to see if he gets faked out by you looking at nothing, but pretending at something.
Yeah. Psyche sounds like that would probably work.
Okay. All right. So then
I would need to roll something.
Yeah. I almost think that has to be an opposed roll then, because I'm like, I'm not going to set my own DL for him. So I think that would have to be an opposed roll then.
So would, and I don't know if this makes sense, would either stealth or persuasion, right? Because it's not like a talking persuasion, but it's sort of like a, because it's not a fast talk, right? Like a fast talk is specifically like fast talk.
Yeah, it's kind of like a deception.
Streetwise, right? Using like tricks of the trade
street sort of. Yeah, you could do that. Whatever. Yeah, I suppose you could do that. Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Yeah, I think that could work. Okay. Yeah, so we're going to have an opposed roll here. Oh my God. Okay, what'd you get?
I rolled 3 sixes, so that's a 7.
Oh, okay. So we're tied because he also has a streetwise of +1. Hmm. So he rolled a 6 as well.
So if I guess we both got a yes, but
yeah.
So yes, he looks.
He's distracted. Yep.
Yes, maybe he kind of notices like mid-turn. So yes, he notices, but I guess you get both of the butts, I guess.
Yeah.
But he doesn't move the pistol, right? So like he doesn't do one of these, right? Like
Yes,
I get him to turn, but he doesn't.
But he doesn't, you
know, change his grip or change his
position,
focus or whatever, right?
Yep. And then he doesn't turn all the way, but you get to flip the table on him.
Yeah, that works.
I'll buy it for $1. We figured it out. Okay, yeah. So, yeah, you know what? I'll let you be the storyteller. Tell me what happens.
Okay, so all that. So we're in a mad staring contest. George, two PIs. Sometimes I forget. George is getting increasingly angry. Like you could see it in his face. And I'm sure the guy enjoys it and, you know, just kind of has a smirk. You know, he's trying to be calm. You know, his hands are on the table, whatever. Jane's, you know, very stiff beside him. And he just sort of like stiffens a little bit and, you know, kind of like half turns, like I'm still looking at him, but like kind of look past him.
Yeah.
And the stiffening is, you know, like the coming up a little bit is part of the plan. And then he starts to turn a little bit, but like he doesn't move, right? He's still pointing the gun at me. And then as he starts to come back around, he just shoves and lifts the corner of the table up. So it hits him and then, you know, comes up to throw it on top of him. Not that it's like, you know, like a 400-pound table or something, but like
No. But it's enough, exactly. And yeah, if you're putting your momentum into it, he's not ready for it. So he, you know, he falls completely over and he's on the ground and the table's on top of him. I think what we're gonna do now is we're gonna actually do something we haven't done in a very long time. We're gonna do some action frames here.
So declarations of intent. So he fell out of the chair. He's got the table on top
correct.
Of him. Correct. Mm-hmm. I yell to her to go, and I like point like towards inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then my declaration of intent, and I don't know how we resolve it, is if the table is on him.
Yes.
Can I see his hands? Really? Like, it's all happening in a minute, but like visually, like what do I see? Right? Because I would see that as it happens. Like, boy. Or his arms akimbo? Is his arm still like under the table?
Yeah. Well, technically we said that he didn't stray from pointing his gun at you, but then if he gets flipped over and the table's on top of him, I'm going to say he's on his back, mm-hmm. and his arms are kind of to the side, but his gun is pointed. It's not pointed at you, but it's in your direction, but okay. It's not going to be anything where it's going to be like, he's not going to just all of a sudden just start screaming off shots. Cause it's still a open establishment in the middle of the day.
Okay. So what I want to do then is, and tell me if there's too many things. I want to jump on the table.
Yep.
And, you know, grab his hand to get the gun out of his hand.
Okay. So we're right, going to do like this
in one motion, right? So now I'm in the chair and I just jump forward onto the table to like knock the wind out of him, break a couple of his ribs. And as I come down, you know, I come down with my, you know, my hand on his hand.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
So I'm going to say that if you roll a yes, and the grabbing the gun will be the and part, because you've technically got two actions going on right now. And so I think that, and eventually this is probably going to happen because I think you haven't rolled very many yes, buts or no. So it probably will happen. But yeah, I think it'll be the jumping part will be your roll. And then if you get the and, which I'm assuming you will, then you'll grab that gun as well. Meanwhile, his action is just going to be to try to just get this table off of him.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good. Right. I'm going to use fighting, I guess, for the thing. I think that's a...
Yeah.
You have to make sure I'm rolling the right number of dice.
So when we're doing this, is this an opposed roll, correct?
Correct, because there's no initiative.
Yep.
It's just the difference between the rolls. Now, he's doing something else.
Yeah,
he's trying to push the table off. He's not taking an offensive action. His defense then is 2.
I gotcha. Okay.
And rules is written.
So, for sure. Which, you know, I wouldn't want to change that. Yeah. So if you end up doing it, you end up doing it. So I'm just going to have his roll anyway, just in case, just so, because he might have a yes end as well. So it might be able to do something as well. So, trying to think. I have his stats here.
Just be like a grace roll?
Yeah, yep. That's definitely it. Okay. That is... Oh, that's only a 5 for him.
No, I got a 6.
Nice.
But I think I'm going to... I don't know if you want to... We can edit if you want to time mark. So like if... And this... Because this is where like Core gets a little weird, right?
A little wonky, yeah.
So if you're shooting me and I'm shooting you... And you roll a 6 and I roll a 4, you get a yes end. So you're because my defense is the die rolled plus, you know, for defense, right? Like armor, cover, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find the do something else thing. If you're doing something else, I think it's just a flat 2 plus any, you know, again. So like if I was if you're casting a spell to summon a demon and I shoot you, the DL to hit you is 2 because you're not focused on like the action sort of, you know, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So he's not that he's not involved in the action that's happening, but he's not right. Like it's not a shooting versus fighting or a shooting versus a shooting. He doesn't have cover because I'm using the table.
Yeah.
As opposed to like trying to punch him and like then the table maybe cover then, right? Because I could punch the table and not punch him sort of thing. I would, let me see. I'm trying to, I'm scrolling quickly through. Here's action results, opposed actions. This happens in one character acting upon another. For instance, in combat, both rules simultaneously, the opposing rules treat as the DL of the task. So the role is the DL of the task, and the active role needs to beat it. It's in both directions, mods on the same role. So in addition to skill bonuses and standard modifiers, following mods apply to any character who is being attacked. Note that you can attack and be attacked in the same frame. Same role is used for both resolutions, but the mods differ. So it's the role plus armor plus two is focused on defending, right? So like full defense sort of thing.
Yeah.
Cover bonus, one third, you know, whatever. If focused on doing something else, if your action takes your attention away from combat, you're doing something else. Make a roll for the action you are attempting at a DL set by the GM. Your base DL versus attack is two.
Okay.
So technically my roll to hit him is a two. Right? I mean, he is involved in what's happening in the scene, but he's not also actively resisting me.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Well, to me, it sounds like that's my two then.
No, because that's your defense.
Oh, versus attacks. Okay.
Yeah, core micro page like 37 or something.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at it right now. Okay.
We had the same issue with Maddie in the house when I went to go get the gun from him or whatever. I'm like, I don't know what happens now. I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
Right, because it's not like he's just trying to bring an arm around and shoot me. Then it would be the roll versus my roll, right?
Yeah, he's
doing this while I'm like people's elbow, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. So then with your roll being technically...
So I got a six, he got a five. So he got...
Yep.
He missed, so he would have to beat my roll, which is a five. So five would be a yes, but I guess for him, but his... So his defense is two. So I definitely do the thing.
Yeah.
I got a six. But again, he's not acting against me. He's acting against trying to push the table away.
Yeah. So I've got an easy resolution for this, which I think will actually help both parties. So I think what happens is that
he pushes the table out of the way and I jump on him.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens. He's easily pushes the table away, and you thinking that you're going to be on the table, just people's elbow or, you know, take both of your knees into his gut and your arms are on the gun. Now, do you say you want to take the gun or you want to just grab it?
I just wanted to grab it because I don't want to get shot.
Yeah.
So he pushes the table as I'm like jumping forward. So instead of hitting the table, I just land like on him, hand on the gun, other hand, you know, kind of like by his head. Right. So I'm not like falling down on top of him.
Yeah.
And then we're in a new frame.
Yep. Perfect. At this point, people are screaming because they see you guys fighting, but also someone recognizes a gun and yells out gun.
Mm-hmm. So I'm of two minds. I'm not sure what to do, right? Because it's not a movie. Mm-hmm. So in a movie, I would just punch the ever loving shit out of him, right? Because his head's on the ground.
Yeah.
So in a movie, it would probably knock him out, but it doesn't work like that in court. Right? I don't know how many dice he's got, you know, whatever, right?
Yeah.
If he's a mook or whatever. So I think instead, right, because I'm on him, I think I just also don't want to grab the gun right now. Because someone yelled gun, so I don't want to be like, oh, shit, it's not me, damn, shit.
Yeah.
So I think I just punch him in the face as hard as I can.
Okay, all right. He's going to try to do the exact same thing. He's only got one good hand. And you've got the other one covered, so he's just gonna try to just lay one on in the jaw and hope for the best.
Is there? I could pull the rolls back up again. Is there a positional advantage for me being on top of him and him being on the ground?
I don't know if it's in core, but I could just call it. I would say, you know, I'd say give yourself a plus one. I don't think I'd give you a dice, but I think I could just give you a plus one just because he's technically what in the business we call prone. Yeah, or disadvantage for sure. Okay. But we don't have disadvantage in core, so I think a plus one probably works best.
I think it does have like positional advantages, right? Like if you're on the steps and someone's fighting up and you're at the top, right? There's modifiers for that kind of stuff. So makes sense.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
That is a six for him.
I also got a six. Oh, nice. I got to swap these dice out. The other two were ones.
the last roll I had was a couple of ones. I'm like, oh boy.
Well, so what was the die roll? Because that's what matters.
Five was the die roll.
So your die roll was a five. My die roll was a four, but I have a plus two.
Gotcha.
So he's got a plus one. I've got a plus two. So he's trying to beat four. I have no cover, no anything. So he got a yes.
Yep.
And then I'm trying to beat a five, and I got a six. So that's also a yes.
Yeah.
So I guess we just trade punches.
Yeah. So you know, you go to just, you know, punch him to just kind of incapacitate him or whatever. And he's thinking the same thing. He's just fighting for survival. He knows that he probably doesn't have a lot of time before something happens. Mm. And so you get one square in your jaw and he doesn't knock you to the ground, but you're definitely like staggered and he's not going to get up, but he's definitely not. I would say he's probably not going to be pinned by you anymore. At least his gun hand, probably your body on his, probably still.
I don't think neither one of us changes position, right? Like,
well, I do suppose
this
if you're,
as he does this, yeah, and then we yeah. both kind of like.
Yeah. It's true.
I should have yelled to go get the cops.
Yeah.
She's probably smart enough to, you know.
Yeah. To do so. Yeah. Here, let's try this. Let's see what happens. Yeah. You start hearing sirens.
Okay. I assume he's going to want to make a break for it. And I'm just going to punch him again. Really is what I'm going to do. Cause I'm on top of him. I have the advantage, right? I mean, I have leverage. He can't go anywhere. I'm leaning down this way, right? Because I get the hand pinned down.
Yep.
So I think I'm just going to punch him in the face again.
Okay. Sounds good. He's going to go to knee you in the balls so you can get away.
God damn it.
That's a seven for him.
So what was the die roll?
Six.
Okay. My die roll was a four with plus two is six again. And he's got his plus one. So he had to beat four. So that's a yes and.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the one damage. So he got, I assume we both take one brains damage.
Yep, for sure.
So he got a yes end. So I guess he knees me in the balls and shoves me, I guess.
For sure. Actually, he knees you in the balls and starts to pick up and run. And you hear one of his buddies start coming out of the truck and saying, "Hey, what the fuck?" And starts making his way towards you.
So he also got hit.
Correct.
Because my six matches his six, but it's a butt. So yes, I hit him, but.
But yeah.
He gets away, I guess. Right.
Yeah. I would say, he starts running.
Me, yeah. Knees me in the balls, shoves me over as like he's, you know, I throw the punch and then I'm like, oh, and he pushes me off and then he starts to run.
Starts to bolt. Yep. Correct. Yeah.
Nice. So that would be what, like a health damage for me, I guess.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Groin stat.
Yeah, because it's not really taking your might, so it's got to be your health, and it's not taking your depending upon who you talk to, it's probably taking your brain, but we won't call it on this one.
All right, so then he would have taken another brains damage then.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, you see him like start to make his way and his buddy is like going to like help him into the truck.
I think I let him go.
Okay.
Right, because the cops are coming, so they're not going to wait.
Yeah. They're not going to want to be there when this goes down.
They might not go far, right? I mean, but I'm going to tell them who the fuck it was, so.
Yeah.
Nice. So there's that. Okay, yeah. So I think, like, he, you know, like, gets up on, like, you know, he's got one knee down, one knee up, hand on his knee, standing up, you know, gets up, hands on his waist, kind of, you know, gonna moves his jaw back and forth as they, I guess, continue to run into the car. And
yeah, they start to speed off.
Speed off, yeah. I watch them drive away, and then, like, I, you know, I cast around and I look for Jane.
Yeah, Jane actually comes running out of the place and comes to make sure you're okay.
I, you know, she comes over and says, "Are you okay?" I'm like, no, are you okay? Are you all right?
Yeah, she's like, I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about you. And she, like, takes your jaw in her hand or whatever and kind of looks you over. You know, you got a little bit of blood kind of coming out of your mouth or whatever. She's like, well, that could have been worse.
Yeah. Did you call the cops?
She's like, you know, I did.
Great. Good work. They like, and I get, like, you could just see the ass end of the truck speeding away. I'm like, they took off. I don't know if they went very far, but I can't imagine they're going to stick around once the cops get here.
No, I don't think they would either. That wouldn't be very smart.
All right. He kind of looks around. He's like, everything is okay. Like, picks up the chair, kind of, like, pulls the table, you know, back straight.
Yeah. Like, there's, like, the people inside are, like, cowered in, like, corners and stuff like that or whatever. The people that were sitting outside are gone. Like, nobody waited up to see what was happening there. They all just bolted in different directions, you know, that kind of thing. So you don't see that. Before you know it, police cars just start piling. Well, not piling in. There's probably, like, two.
They have, like, two cars in the whole county.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And they, you know, kind of pull up or whatever, and they, what would cops back then do? Would they just take out their guns and point it at you and, you know, tell you to lay down, or would they just, you know, would they just stroll up?
I like, in a relatively rural Maine, like, I can't imagine there's, like, a whole lot of action in Maine, right?
Yeah,
like, there's
a
lot of shootings and whatever. So I imagine, like, you know, the sheriff comes up, kind of, like, you know, pushes his hat up, hands on his hips, like, what is this all about? What are you doing?
I thought you were
on vacation. Like, what is this all about?
Yeah, for sure. We'll say, yeah, it's because I can't even remember who you talked to, but we'll say.
I can tell you, you're going to have to edit the shit out of this
podcast. Oh, that's okay. I always edit the shit out of these all my episodes, and I'm fine with it.
There's PD in Portland, Lobsters, Masters of Lopper Co-op, flat top haircut, light brown flat top haircut. I didn't actually write it down.
All right, that's okay. Well, we'll just say whoever you talk to.
So I assume the note on the side, because it's near the PD thing, says older than years. So I guess he looked older than his years. Light brown top haircut. So I guess that was whoever I talked to.
Yep. Yeah. But
I don't have a name for them.
That's okay. We'll say, let's see. I'm terrible at making up names.
You're
now.
Muted, sir.
I shouldn't be.
Well, maybe I can't hear you now. I don't know why. Hold on. Why is my volume down? Okay, go ahead.
I was like, I'm pretty sure everything's cool here. That was weird. So we'll say his name is Ronald James, Lieutenant Ronald James, or Sheriff Ronald James. And he does that thing where he's just like, okay, I told you if there was going to be a problem to come to me. What is this?
I didn't think there was going to be a problem. I got jumped here having lunch with my girl. And, you know, he kind of, like, hand on the elbow, kind of, like, walks him away from the crowd that's probably, you know, kind of gathering, but, like, also sort of away, right? Because the sheriff is here, whatever. And he says, Pete Johnson from over there at the Masterson's came over and he sat down at the table with us and started rousting us, pulled a gun on me. I don't know if there were any kind of way up here, you got any kind of trouble with them over there, but he was none too friendly.
He's flabbergasted. What? He doesn't understand. He's like, you mean Mr. Johnson at the one who owns the Masterson's co-op?
Yeah. Pete Johnson, him and his goon. They started following us earlier. We came out here to lunch and the owner came over, introduced himself, and Pete took the opportunity. I guess he knows him, came over, made some introductions, sat down at the table, pulled the pistol under the table, threatened Jane, threatened me. They hauled off. They were in their panel truck. Everybody here has seen it. You could ask anybody in a crowd.
And he's just like, I'll be Peter Johnson of all people? What is this world coming to?
The impression I got from the conversation that we had, and he kind of like, you know, shrugs his shoulders, you know, whatever. Is that he's up to a little bit of shady business in town. Again, I don't want to get involved in any local politics, any local crime. It's not my place, but you know, he comes down and he threatens my girl. He's lucky he was able to run away.
And he says, that's very interesting. He says, I want you to wait right here. And he goes back to it, like his like deputies and stuff like that. And he's kind of talking or whatever. And they kind of canvass around and they like talk to some people and stuff like that and get people's statements. You know, he's got a little notebook there, or they have little notebooks and writing stuff down or whatever. And, you know, it takes like a half an hour. And he comes back to you two and he says, well, looks like your story checks out. Boy, I tell you, I never thought I'd see any weird excitement like this, but here we are.
Who knew? He just kind of laughs.
And so he flips his pad over and he says, okay, what else can you tell me about this Peter Johnson?
I mean, I don't know a whole lot. We had stopped down there earlier. You know, I talked to him, you know, about the guy I said I was looking for. Didn't think anything of it. He seemed a little, you know, shady, a little greasy, you know. You get that feeling working with people, you know, doing what we do. Left when we were leaving in the cab, I turned him. He was hollering, you know, waving his hands around. I don't know if he was calling to me, if he was calling, you know, to one of his boys. I assume maybe it was that, since they wound up, you know, following us down. I just happened to catch the truck out of the corner of my eye, you know, while we were in the cab. And like I said, you know, Al came up to the table, introduced himself, asked how the meal was. And, you know, Pete had parked across the street and, you know, used that as an opportunity to come up and, you know, give us a hard time.
And he just kind of like just keeps writing stuff down in his little notebook or whatever, you know. He gives her a look and then gives you a look again. And he says, so you're telling me before that you're coming looking for, did you tell him that you're looking for Daniel or for Carson?
I think I just told him that we were in town and that I was working on a case. Okay. I might not even told him that I was looking for somebody. I just told him that we're up here working on a case.
Okay. Okay. You know, all right. All right. That's perfect. That's perfect.
I really don't remember. It's been so long.
No, that's okay. That's okay. It'll still work. So he's just like, so this case you're working on, this doesn't have anything to do with what just happened, does it?
He gets kind of quiet and his eyes flick over to Jane, you know, kind of looking for approval. Right, just looking for a little bit of guidance on how to proceed, right? Because this is her dad.
Yeah. Yeah, she gives you the go ahead, basically.
Just like a slight nod, kind of like.
Yeah.
So he, you know, like big sigh, and he says, "Yeah, it seems that way."
Yeah, and so like he goes back and he kind of writes some stuff down or whatever, and he says, "Okay, so." What was your next move?
So, you know, again, he kind of like scratches at his head and looks over at Jane. He says, well, I had a lead on a location to go check out. I did not want to take these folks to where we were going, not knowing what their intentions might be. And as you could see, they seem poor. So I think that was the right move. I really don't want to. I don't want to make this out to be a bigger thing than what it is, although it seems to be turning out that way. I don't know. I don't know. You guys want to give us a ride? I don't know. Like he's just sort of like fumbling around and he kind of like looks at Jane again. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what we're doing. We're kind of.
Yeah. She kind of like, just kind of like nods at you. Like, it's okay.
So yeah, we were going to go over and, you know, see if this person was at the location. So I don't know. I don't know how safe that is right now. I don't know. I don't want to put this person in jeopardy. They took off, but I'm sure they didn't go far. They're probably just waiting for you to leave to come back and either finish what they started or, put another tail on us.
So he just, you know, writes a couple of things back in his little notebook or whatever. And he says, okay, here's the thing. We're going to escort, me and my partner are going to escort you to this place. We're going to find this person. We're going to find out what they know. We're going to figure this all out.
All right. I mean, it probably seems like the safest bet at this point.
And he's just like, okay. And he like goes back to the other car with his other couple of deputies or whatever. He kind of talks to him a little bit, you know, they exchange some things and stuff like that. And then the other car takes off and he says, all right, you two in the back.
I was going to say something that went out of my head. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. He's got his handkerchief out and he's been like, you know, dabbing at his split lip the whole time. You know, he says to her, are you good? Are you okay? Like, I know this isn't how we, planned on this going, but, I think this is going to be for the best.
Yeah. She's like, well, now the police are involved. I feel safer.
Okay. All right. And, he gives her a hug. And then, you know, again, you know, puts like a protective arm around her, looks around to make sure they're not around. And then, you know, we'll walk over and just kind of weird open up the door for her. Hey, can she sit in the front? Like, I don't mind the back seat. It's fine.
Well, it's him and his partner. So they'll have to sit in the front.
He's got his partner with him. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So definitely won't have him sit in the back.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Yeah. I thought it was just him.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah, so open up the door for her, let her get in and, you know, climb in behind her.
Perfect. Yep. So you jump in and you guys, do you tell them where you're headed? Obviously.
Yeah. I tell them that we're going to the, you know, to the
Mondale Hotel.
The Mondale.
Yep, you're all good. I got it. Yep. All right. Yeah. Yep. So you guys get on your way to the Mondo Hotel. Is there anything that you want to do while you're driving? Do you want to talk to her? Do you want to talk to them?
I think I just say to them as we're driving, like, you know, just go in easy, lights off. Let me go into the office, find out where he's at, you know, which room he's in. Just be backup, make sure she's safe. Well, I guess she'd be with me. Just, you know, kind of like lay low, let me do it, right? Because I don't want them to get spooked if you guys, you know, either go in and start banging on the door or, you know, roll up heavy. I just, I don't need these guys, you know, coming in here guns blazing. So if you're outside, I think that's going to be good enough.
He says, while I appreciate the candor, no offense, you're not really in charge right now, so I will allow you to, God, what do you say, I'll allow you to take point on this, but I'm gonna have my partner go up with you. He'll be behind you, he'll stay out of sight, and I'll stay with this lady.
I mean I figure she would come up with me, right, since it's her dad. I mean, unless she consented to that, right?
Yeah.
Right, because he would, I would assume, recognize her. I don't know if mom provided pictures or whatever, but, like, I think he would get a sense, like, I don't know who the fuck you are, but, like, oh, my God, it's Jane, right? Like,
yeah, for sure. Well, let's say this, then. Let's just say, like, instead of staying in the car, let's just say like they will like stay like out of eyeshot. The three of us
go up to the door?
But like close enough. It would be like, I think the other two would be close, but not close to where you could probably see them. It would probably be out of eyesight. So like if there's like you're going to a door and you guys are right there, like right in front, they would probably be off to the sides in either direction, just kind of hanging out just in case.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, they still don't really know who you are. So even if you're a PI, they're still the cops and they wouldn't just like let you kind of do your thing.
Yeah.
So, which makes sense. So, yeah. So you pull up to the Mondale. It's got a very nice parking lot. It's almost looks kind of like a old school like motel almost. But again, it's just because it's such an old, or since we're in the 40s or whatever, like, you know, some motels were grandiose, but this one's like real, just kind of simple. It's got three levels and then it's got stairs going up on either side, getting up in the on the front, going up to each level. So you've got on the way left, you'd have a staircase going up, and then on the way right, you'd have a staircase going up, kind of like a V almost, going in either direction or whatever. And there is a little office just kind of to the side of the hotel. And there is a man in a suit that's just sitting behind a desk waiting for you guys to get there. There's also some like nice random bushes along the hotel as well, just to kind of make it a nice look.
Yeah. Yeah. We go up to, you know, up to the office. I don't know if they, you know, one of them comes in, one of them waits outside, sort of thing.
Yeah.
So go in and approach and say, good afternoon. I'm hoping that you'll be able to help me. And he pulls out his wallet, you know, gives him the card. My name is George Armstrong. I'm a private investigator. I'm looking for somebody. I understand he's staying here. I need to ask him a couple of questions. If you wouldn't mind, tell me which room he's in. As you can see, I got approval. And he kind of like tries to make a joke out of it, you know, just kind of like lighten the mood.
Yeah, for sure. And you can tell by the look on his face, he's kind of like nervous, because he's just like, okay, now all of a sudden he's just like, his day is like nice and easy, and now all of a sudden you know three have kind of come in. There's a cop there, you know, he's kind of like very leery of what's going on. It's almost like he wants to say like, that's privileged information, I can't give that out to you or whatever, but then he thinks better of it and he says, sure, pal, who are you looking for?
Daniel Klondike. Yeah.
And he'd like fully work, he'd like pulls the book out looking for a name, and he's like, Daniel Klondike. Yes, looks like he is in room 203, second floor.
Great, that's perfect.
And he says, do I have to warn any of my other guests about anything?
No, this is just a couple of questions, no trouble. We're gonna be in and out of your hair, no problem. It's like we were never here.
Roll me a persuasion check.
All right.
I'll have the DL before, because he's going to be, he's a little on his hackles right now. So he's doesn't know whether to trust you or not.
5, 6, 7.
Nice. All right. He believes you. He doesn't get nervous. He doesn't say anything else. He's like, oh, of course. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. I just want to make sure my other tenants are safe.
He's talking to me, but he's looking at the cop.
Yeah, exactly. He's just side-eyeing him the whole time.
I want to say Andy's in the room, but I feel like he's probably in the room. Otherwise, there's no reason for us to be here, unless it leads us somewhere else. Johnson and his goon don't show up, but the cops are outside. I assume they're not going to get in a shootout. So, like, I kind of don't know what to do with the and.
Yeah, I mean, that's up to you. If you want that to be your and, you can. That's up to you.
I don't know, because I don't know where we're going. Like, if this isn't, like, if he's not here, then I don't want to make him be here, right? Like, if we have other avenues to pursue, right? Like, because I don't know where your head's at. How about this? Will make it more general. We don't have any problems while we're here.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
And then whatever happens, okay. Happens.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So he tells you the room. He's assured that everything's okay. Yeah.
So I nod and, I motion for, Jane to walk in front of me. I open up the door. I let the cop go out too. I go out last.
Yeah. Nice.
And, I'll walk back over to Lieutenant James or Sheriff James and say, he's in 203. We'll go up and get him. Hopefully this is quick and easy.
Okay. He says, we'll be covering you. So just be careful.
Yeah. I'm not expecting any trouble here, but quite honestly, I wasn't expecting any trouble earlier. So, I guess we'll see what happens. And, puts a hand in the small arm of her back, lets her go first, and go up the steps towards 203.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.